Our Bibles open to the 16th chapter of Genesis. We had a portion of that last Sunday night. We look at it again this Sunday evening. As we consider the life of Abraham, as it represents a true Christian life with all of its difficulties, defeats, triumphs, they're all here. Genesis chapter 16. Sarai, Abram's wife, had borne him no children. She had an Egyptian maidservant whose name was Hagar. So Sarai said to Abram, "See now, the Lord has restrained me from bearing children. Please, go into my maid. Perhaps I shall obtain children by her." And Abram heeded the voice of Sarai. And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan. So he went into Hagar, and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress became despised in her eyes. And Sarai said to Abram, "My wrong be upon you. I gave my maid into your embrace. And when she saw that she had conceived, I became despised in her eyes. The Lord judge between you and me." So Abram said to Sarai, "Indeed, your maid is in your hand. Do to her as you please." And when Sarai dealt harshly with her, she fled from her presence. Now the angel of the Lord found her by a spring of water in the wilderness, by the spring on the way to Shur. And he said, "Hagar, Sarai's maid, where have you come from and where are you going?" She said, "I am fleeing from the presence of my mistress Sarai." So the angel of the Lord said to her, "Return to your mistress and submit yourself under her hand." Then the angel of the Lord said to her, "I will multiply your descendants exceedingly, so that they shall not be counted for multitude." The angel of the Lord said to her, "Behold, you are with child, and you shall bear a son. You shall call his name Ishmael, because the Lord has heard your affliction. He shall be a wild man. His hand shall be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all his brethren." Then she called the name of the Lord who spoke to her, "You are the God who sees." For she said, "Have I also here seen him who sees me?" Therefore the well was called Beer Lehi Roi. Observe, it is between Kadesh and Bered. So Hagar bore Abram a son, and Abram named his son, whom Hagar bore, Ishmael. Abram was 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. Let us pray. Father, as we deal with this, deal with our understanding, and with our understanding, may we deal with our own decisions and directions in light of the truth we understand by the Holy Spirit. So bless, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I remind you that last Sunday night we indicated that it is understandable what Abram and Sarai did. It isn't right. And they're not simply out after selfish gain. They want the spiritual end. That's why it's understandable. And they did it in a way that was then acceptable in the culture, never to God. Polygamy was never acceptable to God. He forbears. He is a long sufferer with things that are equally as abhorrent in our lives as polygamy was in their culture. But it's deplorable what they did. And we understand this chapter best by looking at the characters. The characters are central here in this chapter. And these characters display the untruth of sin in their lives. Verse 4, Hagar does, with false pride. The minute she moves up in station from an Egyptian maid to a wife of Abram, she's arrogant and proud. And that happens so often with people. One bit of advancement, one bit of accumulation, false pride. Let Hagar remind us of that. This character displays that. Verse 5, Sarai displays false blame. Do you see that? She suggested it. And now that her maid is arrogant with her, proud and uncontrollable, very likely, she turns to Abram and makes accusation to him. Shifts the blame. That is as common now as then. Let it never be displayed here. Rationalization, accusation, shifting of blame. I did it. I nailed him to the tree. That's what the true pilgrim and the repentant Christian ever acknowledges. Explanations, excuses. She displays that in her life. To Abram in verse 6, these three main characters displays what I call false neutrality. Well, see to it yourself. Don't worry me with this. She's your maid. Do with her as you wish. As though he didn't have any part in it. As though he didn't have any responsibility or accountability. You see to it. And how we dismiss things that must be dealt with a flick of the wrist, as though we have no responsibility, and signing it off to somebody else, we're free from it, except before God. That's what's displayed in these three characters. There are two more characters, Ishmael, and in the whole picture, we never can look at Ishmael fully or satisfactorily without Isaac. He hasn't come along yet. It's another 13 or 14 years before he is born. But we have the whole picture. And those two characters make distinctions for us. As Hagar and Sarai and Abram display qualities we are to avoid, they are what sin displays. Arrogance. Blame shifting. False neutrality. It's not my fault, not my responsibility. You do something about it. What about Isaac and Ishmael? Well, keep your place here and turn to Galatians chapter 4 for just a moment. Galatians chapter 4. At verse 21, beginning at verse 21 and to the end of the fourth chapter of Galatians, St. Paul, in this theological passage, in this didactic teaching passage, is building on Ishmael and Isaac, on Hagar and Sarah. Remember that next to Romans, Galatians very likely would stand as the most theological passage in the Bible. Some would argue that Ephesians is equal to it, and I'm open to that argument. But even if you put Ephesians and Galatians together, they are tied in second place only behind Romans, which sets forth so fully and systematically the faith most surely to be believed. And here we have then in Galatians this doctrinal book, this contrast. Galatians 4:21. Tell me, you who desire to be under the law, do you not hear the law? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, the one by a bondwoman, the other by a free woman. But he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh, and he of the free woman through promise. Which things are symbolic. For these are two covenants, the one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia, and corresponds to Jerusalem, which now is and is in bondage with her children. But the Jerusalem above is free, which is the mother of us all. And so on. But the contrast, the distinction that Ishmael and Isaac make for us is spelled out by St. Paul in 22 and 23. As they display in the distinction between them, on the one hand, what one is able to bring about in religious endeavor of his own effectiveness, but which may not have anything to do with the work of the Spirit of God. That's Ishmael. When St. Paul says he is born of the flesh, he not only means that Abram sires him by Hagar, that's true, but symbolically and spiritually, Ishmael represents those who depend on what they themselves can effectuate, what they can bring about religiously. In another figure from St. Paul, these would be lives of wood, hay, and stubble, which in and of themselves may not appear as they are in the judgment. Nothing wrong with wood, for example. We may argue about hay and stubble, but just stick with wood for a moment. To take that figure and to see that these are things which are done with man's ability. A church must always ask, are we building with wood, hay, and stubble that will not stand the test at last? It's ever the evaluation of a true church leader and church member. Ishmael stands, son of Abraham, as representing those who bring about appearance, activity, born of their own effort and flesh. There's an awful lot of that in the American church. To appear more than we are. It's been interesting through the years to be subjected to the manipulation of those who want their own way and want the endorsement of the church and of God. For carnal, fleshly effort. That's not related to any one congregation alone. We have grown accustomed to religious leaders ditching their wives for a newer model. And appallingly saying, the Lord led them every step of the way. That's become common. It's fleshly. It's Ishmael. It's wood, hay, and stubble. That's what he represents. He's a main character here in Genesis 16, and we cannot adequately look at him without looking also at Isaac, the son of promise, gracious provision. You and I understand and know that God was delaying all of those years until it became medically, physically clear neither Abraham nor Sarah could have a son. That's the reason for the long delay, isn't it? You don't have to go to seminary to get that. I'll give you a degree if you learn that simple lesson. until he could no longer function in that way, and she in childbearing. And then, by the Spirit's work in their body that God had made, bringing about, contrary to all medical and natural means, the birth of Isaac. Isaac stands for those who depend finally on the power and working of God. You know, there is a blessing in testing, isn't there? And the church, the member, the believer who is ever able to stay out of a period or situation of testing may not know really accurately, carefully, whether we're depending upon our own abilities or the moving of God's Spirit solely. I can recall occasions, situations, where whole groups of people are hemmed in with no exit, no answer, but look to God alone. As in the Old Testament, do you remember the account where it said, besieged, surrounded, we don't know what to do, but our eyes are upon you. Do you ever come to that place? It would be good for us to be in it from time to time at the leading of the Lord. Lord God, we are utterly at the end of ourselves. We are past the age of childbearing, Lord God. We don't know what to do, but our eyes are on you. Maybe the Lord needs to put us in that kind of a situation. Or as you quaintly say down here, and I love this phrase, in such a fix. One dear old lady still living there in the Augusta Church, in that church all of her life, carried in her infancy, now 93, mind is clear, body won't work just right. I've heard her say that over and over again in the prayer meeting. Lord, Lord, we're in such a fix. That's quaint. But our eyes are on you. I'll tell you, we learn how to pray in a fix. Here's Isaac, in distinction from Ishmael. Ishmael, what we're able to do in the flesh with our resources, our cleverness, our abilities. But here's Isaac, the product of God's power and the Spirit's work. Then, interestingly, coming to Hagar again and contrasting her now not at all with Sarah, but with Abraham, she's satisfied. She displays a satisfaction with little. She is happy, will you note it, with the sole promise that Ishmael will produce a great people. No blessing to the nations, no land of promise, no messianic seed, just large numbers, so that Ishmael and his descendants will not be trampled underfoot and not be at the beck and call of anybody else. That's sufficient for Hagar. And notice on into the next chapter what God says in time, some 13 or 14 years later, to Abraham, chapter 17, verse 20, as for Ishmael, I have heard you. Behold, I have blessed him and will make him fruitful and will multiply him exceedingly. He shall beget 12 princes and I will make him a great nation, not only in that enormous peninsula between the Euphrates and the Nile, but all across the north of Africa and southern Asia, Islam. Has it bettered life for people? You do know their marriage practices? The throwing out of young girls married to men who are ruined because they're married too young? It's the Christians who care, not Islam. Islam puts them out on the streets to beg. And whole medical missions of Christendom have taken those young girls in literally their stinking condition physically, and operated on them and led them to the Lord Jesus. Did I tell you the surgeon I took with me when we were stranded in the Lagos airport operated on some 20 of those young women? That's what he went over to do. He's a urologist and surgeon. They brought them down from a Muslim community. It wasn't too many months after we had returned to the States that we received word from the missionaries who were working with them, who had brought them down there to the clinic, the hospital. Every one of them responded to Christ's love in that compassion and were saved. Islam didn't care. Hagar was satisfied just with a large nation that wouldn't be trampled down under the beck and call of anybody. But Abraham wasn't. The end of chapter 16 leaves Abraham 86 years old when Hagar bore Ishmael to Abram. And not until he was 99, 13 years later, as we see in the beginning of chapter 17, the Lord appeared to Abram and said to him, I am Almighty God, and you have all that we shall get to in due course on Sunday evening. But back to verse 20, not only do you see in 17:20 where God promised to Hagar and reiterated it to Abraham about Ishmael being mighty and large and aggressive and a wild man in the desert like the wild donkeys. I would say, as an aside, if they could trust each other, they could overthrow the world. They make pacts with each other and 30 minutes later turn on each other in the Arab world. And I say, thank goodness, Lord, that you made Ishmael, literally it says here, a wild ass of a man who roams the deserts, rejects the cities. Oh, I know in our modern day they have acquired Western luxuries, but there's a wildness there and a failure to trust each other. Thank goodness. But when in 17:20 we read here that Abram longs for Ishmael, do you see through that longing, when he pleads for Ishmael, that God would come, despite my failure, Lord God, Abraham would say, would you come and sanctify the product of this union, wrong as it was, won't you in mercy take Ishmael and bring good and bring the promise from him? He wasn't satisfied just with Ishmael without God's power. Do you see that? Hagar was. Not Abraham. So in reading Genesis chapter 16, you look to see what these main characters display as they're clustered together and coupled together. What are we satisfied with? Oh, I know there's a satisfaction in the Lord Jesus and a sense of fulfillment and rest and peace. We have found the one for whom we have are made. And our restless souls find true rest in Him. But I believe that the Word of God would give us a holy unrest. Until we rest in His presence from our labors. That's what we say at the committal of the body of believers at the open grave. Behold, I heard a voice which said, Blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from henceforth. They rest from their labors. That rest is complete and perfect. And while we have found rest in Him, coupled with that rest, right along with it, if you please, is sort of an unrest. We cannot be satisfied with the things that satisfy Hagar. More about Jesus would I know. The hunger. Hagar was satisfied. She went back to the complex where Abram was living. She bore Ishmael. She got the progenitor of the Arab peoples. Wild and numerous. Frightening. I don't mean to frighten you. But I would not get on a plane unsaved. One of them might have taken a notion somehow and some kind of strange quirk of thinking that they must kill some of us. We read about it, don't we? Wild man of the desert. Doesn't satisfy me at all. I believe Abram had a holy dissatisfaction, and that's why he pleaded for Ishmael. Not that God would cover up his wrong, but that the spiritual end and the higher goals of the covenant promises and the grace of God would be accomplished in Ishmael. I'm 100, God. I still long at the century mark for all that you have promised. God would grant us the blessing of being shut up in situations where there's no answer, but our eyes are on Him. And dissatisfied with low level of spiritual life and a true godly unrest in our spirits that we might have what the Spirit produces. I'm not satisfied with what we have here. And some of you think that I don't like you, therefore. Or Montgomery, don't you understand? Don't you? Let us pray. Oh God, we would not sit with Hagar and be glad with for less than we might have. Oh, Father, as we look at these characters, are we characters in the drama? What is it we display as we pass across the stage of this life? Give us a holy yearning for higher ground. Lord, lift us up. Enable us to stand by faith on tables heaven lap, table land, a higher plane than we have found. Lord, plant our feet this night on higher ground. Make us restless again. Not a grumbling, not a complaining, but a dissatisfaction until there are deeper, mightier things of the Spirit of God, things that cannot be explained by man's endeavor. Send us down from the house of God, hungering for holiness and a powerful, sweeping work of the Spirit of God in our lives and in our midst. And we would say this night, O God, we cannot be satisfied until we see that. Ishmael won't do. Give us Isaac. For Jesus' sake.